Hi, I'm Eric, also known as Trekkie B47, from the Ranger Command Power Hour and the Starfleet Escape Podcast. You're listening to another great Four-Eyed Radio product. For more shows, check out foureyedradio.com. It's Morphin' Time!
Aye! It's the Ranger Command Power Hour!
Today on the Power Hour, Extra Episode 95, Rangers Round the World, Ash Day, a.k.a. Deoxy360. Welcome to the Ranger Command Power Hour on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. Time to Ranger up with your hosts. I'm Eric, also known as Trekkie B47. This episode is brought to you by patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/RangerCommandPH to learn more about supporting Ranger Command Power Hour. Thanks to our $5 and above patrons, Chris P., Steve F., Steve M., Justin Z., Richie S., Charlie N., Brian M., Craig M., Liz M., Mason M., Tyler W., Steve R., Hassan A., Jacob P., Josh P., Sonia G., and Teresa B. for supporting us this month. Remember, you can go to linktr.ee/RangerCommandPH for all the links in our show, including our Amazon affiliate link at amazon.com/shop/RangerCommandPH. Rangers Around the World is a new version of our Ranger Nation Spotlight series, focusing on fans around the world and their unique perspective of 30 years of Power Rangers in their country. Power Rangers is a global franchise, and what better way to celebrate the 30th anniversary milestone than by going around the world? Today I'm joined by Ash Day, also known as Deoxy360 on YouTube. While his bio says he's just some random guy in Australia that makes Power Rangers videos, he's not random to me or Ranger Nation. Ash does extensive news and reviews on Boom Studios' Power Ranger comics and theories surrounding the lore of the franchise. Welcome to Ranger Command Power Hour.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be here. I've been listening to the podcast for years, and it's crazy that I'm going to be on one of these. That's awesome to see, but yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I've really admired your work with, especially with the Boom Studios reviews thanks. That you do for the Power Ranger comics. I know finding people who love the comics seems to be harder than normal. I mean,
I know.
They got their fair share of critics, but I always love your in-depth reviews. And I know when you cover the news of the comics, you use Ranger Command, like the press releases and stuff. So
yeah.
I really appreciate that too.
You're welcome.
So yeah, I just wanted to go down under, I guess. And we reached out to a lot of creators just internationally and really appreciate you taking the time to do this. So what we do with our Ranger Nation Spotlight, I always like to know people's like first interaction with Power Rangers and like their history with the show. So how do you get into Power Rangers?
Oh, this is like a really hard one to think about, because I have to go back and think way back to when maybe I was like 2 or 3 years old when I got into the franchise. So that young, you barely remember anything. Yeah. But I think I just remember seeing the toys or the movie, or I got into it that way. And then it just went like up from there, like following the show every day after school, getting my parents to buy me the toys and stuff like that. Yeah. I did have a falling out with Power Rangers, like a lot of people, like after Lost Galaxy, but that's mostly because like after, and this probably leads into the one of the questions, but it did sort of fall off Australian TV because I didn't have cable growing up. It was on free to air. And then after Lost Galaxy, I guess they just stopped airing it after schools, or they moved it to like a time slot. I had no idea that it was on.
With Power Rangers, what are some of your favorite seasons?
Oh, favorites. Like In Space is up there. Time Force is pretty good. SPD. RPM, looking back on it, that's a lot of fun as well. Like Dino Fury and Cosmic Fury, they're a lot of fun as well. Dino Charge, looking back on it, like I like the first season of Dino Charge. That's really good as well. Like there's just so many, like not all of them are the best, but you can look back on them and see like, oh, these ones have some strong points as well. But like In Space is like going to be like up there with one of my favorites.
I definitely have to give that one like another rewatch for sure. There's so many good seasons, and you know, even seasons that people's least favorite, I think you can find something good about them. Like I think there's still even redeeming qualities for parts of Ninja Steel. Even like, I think Mick, the character of Mick and what Kelson did with that character, you know, that's the reason why Mick has come back in like these last few seasons. So yeah, for sure. So I know you're like huge into the comics like I am. Mm-hmm. Were you into the comics like from the get-go, or did you pick them up later in the run?
I think from the get-go, around issue 0 and issue 1, I started reading them. Mm-hmm. And it was something I would pick up every month. I would go down to the city because we don't have many comic book stores in my state. So I would pick up the issues monthly, and then I started collecting the trades and stuff like that. But I think because I didn't start with issue 0, I started with issue 1 because I mm-hmm. think they didn't have issue 0 in stock. And I was like, I can start from issue 1. We'll see from there. And I think when issue 1 ends with, like, I think it ends with Scorpino, like, in Tommy's room with, like, yes. the blade at the neck. I was like, okay, we've got something special going on here. This is not the Power Rangers I grew up with. This is something completely different. We're in for a special trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, there's just so many great arcs, and there's mm-hmm. been so many great writers, like Kyle Higgins and
yeah.
Ryan Parrott, Melissa Flores, mm-hmm. Marguerite Bennett. I mean, just, like, the list goes on and on. I guess specifically for the comics, just because, like, I'm also such a huge fan of them, and, you know, trying to keep track of all these, like, yeah. crazy variant covers is just feels like a job unto itself sometimes. Do you have, like, a favorite arc or maybe a standout issue for you?
That is a good one. Favorite arc for the comics? I really enjoyed Altarian War.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool to see with each comic leading into each other. Like, I really enjoyed Altarian War. Necessary Evil was really good as well. And then Darkest Hour has been popping off. Like, Darkest Hour has been a treat to read every month. Like, you yeah. don't know where it's going to go. And then, is this the final arc? How is it going to end? Because after, like, the Morphin Masters, it's like, okay, where do we go from here? Because this was not going the way I was thinking it was going to go.
Especially Darkest Hour, it's just been crazy. Like, they even brought in the Power Eggs, which I was like,
yes,
you're diving so deep into the lore.
Yes,
like Melissa's doing, I think, such a fantastic job with this series. I know the time zones are crazy, but I gotta get you on a Comic Squadron episode.
Oh, that'd be great
for sure. Also, in regards to the fandom, before, you know, we get into some of the international stuff, because I'm mm-hmm. really curious to hear about it from an Australian perspective.
Yeah.
What have been some of your favorite fandom experiences? Not just Power Rangers, but just in fandom.
I got to take it back to, like, maybe 2020 with the Viewing Globe, because that's when, like, a lot of people came together. Mm-hmm. We did this big, like, I think it was you, the Illuminati, Chris, a bunch of other people.
Heirloom. Yeah.
Elam, yeah. I don't know everyone behind the scenes who was working on it, but being on that and getting involved with that was really great. But even when you watch, like, Power Morphicon clips with, like, vlogs from SD and stuff like that, you get the immersement. They're like, oh, it's like almost like you're there, but you're not there. But it's cool to see everyone together and stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember the Viewing Globe, and I was definitely behind the scenes on that one with Joe yeah. from Illuminati and Geek with Chris. Yeah, it was amazing to, like, bring so many different creators together for that event.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a lot of work behind the scenes. It was amazing how much that came together. And especially during the height of the pandemic, like, when we yeah. were all just like, I don't know what's going to happen with, mm-hmm. you know, conventions going forward.
No. Yeah, it was, like, really cool to see everyone together. Like, it was, like, content creator after content creator, like, segment after segment. It was, like, really great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So Power Rangers kind of has a history with Australia. Obviously, they filmed the movie down there, mm-hmm. and they also filmed part of that. I think it was season 3, because while yeah. they were filming the movie, they were also filming part of MMPR season 3. But you got to let me know, because I don't know if this is just, like, one of those rumors or, like, things that you hear that you don't know if is it true, because a lot of people are saying, or did it really happen? Didn't Power Rangers eventually become banned in Australia because of the violence?
I think that's New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand? Oh, okay.
I think people get that confused. I don't know if it was banned here, but I remember airing on TV during the Mighty Morphin era in Australia, and there was toys on the shelves and stuff like that. I think it's New Zealand where it was banned for the longest time since Samurai.
Well, I know with collecting Power Rangers, and I've talked to other international creators about this, what has been some of the challenges for collecting Power Rangers, whether it be the comics or the toys or any collectibles? What's your experience been like?
Very hard to get what I want. Inflation is one thing, I will say that. We don't have our own Hasbro Pulse store, which is crazy because I feel like every country's gotten one. You've got the UK and then Asia, Oceania. Australia has not got one yet. So I don't have my Omega Rangers yet, which is sad.
Oh my gosh. I feel like if anyone should have a set of Omega Rangers, it's you for me. Sure.
Yeah. Like I look on eBay and people are selling it for like $240, and then it's coming from the US, so it's like plus $50 plus shipping. I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I know I'll play extra money for like Toku collectibles, stuff like that. But I was like, I'm not paying something on eBay. That's probably not what I think it is. But yeah, there's been stuff that has been hard to find. Toys are non-existent when I go into like a Big W or a Kmart or a Toy World. You're paying like $40 for a single Lightning Collection figure.
Wow.
Like $60 to $70 for like the deluxe one. It's crazy. For the longest time, they won't have any Power Ranger toys on their shelves because I guess, you know, toys don't move like they used to compared to back in the day. Like I still go in there and they've still got like Star Wars and Justice League figures from those movies when they were out.
Oh, wow.
I've seen it. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so with like Hasbro Pulse, because I know the UK has had their own problems with not getting all the exclusives and all that stuff. So like not even having a Hasbro Pulse, like I can't imagine it because that'd be such a hassle to try to import. Like, have you ever import anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There are stores like Angel Grove Collectibles who did get the Master Morpher in there. Only had to pay like $100 for one. $110. That wasn't too bad. Other stuff I've paid a fair bit expensive for here and there, but yeah, I do import from Big Bad Toy Stores here and there. I think I got all my Turtle figures from Big Bad Toy Stores and stuff like that. All nice. The Turtle crossovers, like importing.
I literally just talked to Ryan Parrott last week and we were all talking about like how amazing it would be if we got the Dinosaur Rangers from the second crossover. I think that'd be incredible. But it's like now that everything's on hiatus, it's just been, we don't even know what's going to happen. It's nuts.
There's so many potential for like figures or figures that were meant to happen. Like we were meant to get more color swap Rangers, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And then that was scrapped. We were supposed to get the Yellow Ranger helmet, which, you know, I would have loved to get.
They should have dropped that during Once and Always. That was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, 100%. The timing was just completely gone from that. As an Australian fan, what has your experience been with like an Australian contingent of the fandom?
So I've done a few conventions here and there, meeting other Ranger actors. But I've talked to a couple of people that are in the fandom that are in Australia, like Power Rangers Australia. I think they go by.
Yeah.
They post all the scans. They're really cool. They've been like trying to make me go to Power Morphicon. I was like, I'm working on it. I'm like, I'm just sorting out finances. But yeah, like I don't know everyone in the fandom who would be in Australia, but I'm sure there's like more out there than I think. But
for sure. Yeah. I think one of the cool things about social media is, you know, the ability for everyone to come together and, you know, make this world seem a little smaller, which can be a good and bad thing.
Yeah, for better or worse.
Exactly. But I think that's, it's such a great way to like, you know, I've met so many amazing people through social media and getting to interact with everyone. And I mean, that's how I was able to find like your channel and the Viewing Globe and everything else. And so tell me a little bit more and let our listeners know a little bit more about your channel if they haven't visited.
Okay. All right. So I'm Ash, also known as Yoxy360, just in case you missed the intro. But I've been talking about Power Rangers on the channel for a while. I started with Shattered Grid. The Shattered Grid was a big event when it came up, and I did these reviews. Like, originally when my channel started, it was like cringy Pokemon Nuzlocke and Let's Plays and stuff like that. I reviewed the Hunter x Hunter manga, and if you follow the Hunter x Hunter series, if you're watching or listening, it's mostly known for going on like a 2 to 3, 4 year hiatus for a weekly series.
Oh, wow.
Because of the creator has like back issues. So he goes on like a long hiatus. But yeah, I started talking about the comics and I started talking about Shattered Grid, and it weirdly took off. I wasn't expecting it to do so well. And I was like, all right, I've got something monthly to talk about on the channel. But then I was like, well, I've got theories I don't want to talk about, because Shattered Grid was so crazy with how it was going and no one knew where it was going to go, like Ranger Slayer and stuff like that. And then there's that scene, spoilers for Shattered Grid, like for like a 6-year-old story.
Exactly.
If you haven't read it, I'm sure most people in the fandoms read it, because a lot of people say they stopped after Shattered Grid, which you should keep reading.
Yeah, I literally saw that comment today. Someone mentioned the new arc.
Yeah.
And someone's like, oh, this sounds cool, but I stopped reading after Shattered Grid. And it's like, why?
It's like the same people who say they stopped watching after Mighty Morphin. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like there's so much more to experience.
I know.
But specifically like theories around the comics, and I could talk about that all day. There's so many like Easter eggs that not only the writers put in, but the artists as well. Like Dan Mora apparently loves Super Sentai. That's why there was, you know, a Gatlinger in Mighty Morphin TMNT 2. That's why Billy's holding like a Gatlinger with a Triceratops face on it in one panel.
Oh my God, I missed it. I'm going to have to go back and catch that. Who was the artist that did the Matt Groom run? Was it Francesco or was it...
I think it was Francesco Mortarino.
Because one of them put like a lot of Dragon Ball Z references in that run.
Yes, I remember that. Was it Draken or someone did like a face plant?
It was Tommy doing the Yamcha and then the Yamcha's cousins. Yeah, doing the fusion dance pose.
Yes.
And then Daniel D. Niculo, sorry if I butchered your name.
No, you got it right.
Cool. But they put in like a lot of One Piece references. There's this scene where Dane's having like the dinner when he's watching the Rangers, I think in issue 41 or 42 of MMPR.
Yeah.
And there's like a devil fruit on the table.
It's amazing what the artists are able to like sneak in for Easter eggs. I think one time I caught, I think it was during the Necessary Evil arc, it was the start of it's really hard to keep track of the, like, when Power Rangers was its own separate title and it was focusing on the Omega Rangers, or a space station blew up and it looked exactly like Deep Space Nine from Star Trek.
Oh, that's cool.
I knew Ryan is a huge Star Trek fan. I'm asking him about it. He's like, I caught that too. That was 100% the artist. I didn't say it was, I think it was when they were breaking Astronomer out of prison or something and Draken blew up the space station. And it was literally Deep Space Nine from Star Trek, just modified slightly. So I get a kick out of the comics because, like you said, there's so many Easter eggs and stuff that the artists and writers pack into it.
Like, and even more recently with the Morphin Masters, there was the Dino Thunder Pink that has a lot of people talking online. And I don't know if you talked to Ryan about that.
Oh, we did. Good. Essentially, it boiled down to artist was having fun and Ryan wasn't going to take like credit for it. It was just like, look, I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble, but I think even if it's like an artist mistake, because I know some of the covers that have like all the Rangers, someone's like, what's this green Megaforce, or what's, you know, why is someone from
Q-Ranger?
Yeah, Q-Ranger in there. And whether it's a mistake or whatever, I like to imagine it, because obviously you've got the TV show universe and now you've got the comics universe. And even in the comics universe, there's a whole other multiverse.
Yeah.
And I just like to think of the possibility, because the Morphin Master, like, my headcanon is like, look, the emissaries are not only switching from Rangers of this dimension, but like other dimensions.
Other universes.
Yeah, I think it's totally like a what if situation. And I think at the end of the day, it's also not that serious. Like, people are so critical of the comics. And it's like, why are we still in season 2? And like all that stuff. And it's like,
yeah.
Let's just have fun with the story.
I know. Like, I know if the comics do continue, like, and we do some season 3 stuff, we can probably get some really good stuff with that, whoever's at the helm. But I'm fine with season 2. Like, I like the Thunder Zord designs. Like, seeing stuff like the Dragon Tiger Zord which was amazing to see. Or the what was the one they did in 100? Was it the Thunder Dragon Zord?
I think it was the Thunder Dragon Zord. Yeah, because they teamed up because Matt's Dragon Zord fused with it.
Yeah. Like, even stuff like that is really cool to see.
When Ranger Slayer first came on the scene and there was the Grave Zord.
That's a cool design.
I've been wanting a toy of that forever. And I just think it's silly that Hasbro or, you know, whoever's in charge of the brand, you're leaving all of this on the table. You're leaving money on the table by not making this stuff. And I will say one thing that Hasbro did really cool was making the Draken Evo 3 figure.
Yes.
The regular Draken. I was hoping that they would do Evo 2 and 3 because Evo 2 is actually like the Zeo fusion with Draken. That's actually my favorite Draken design.
Right. That's the Zeo one, the Zeo and the Samurai one.
Yeah, the Zeo Samurai. Okay. And I was like, this is the greatest one. Like, you should have stopped there. I've got the Lord Draken helmet that Hasbro made. I actually got that on sale. And
nice.
I love it. I mean, stupid voice changer aside, I love it. I didn't like the price, but that's why I got it on sale. So you and I are like the biggest proponents of the comics, I feel, sometimes in the fandom. But I don't think it would have lasted as long without a strong readership. Like, the sales have to be there for them to keep going with it.
Yeah. And there's been speculation. I think even going back to ages ago on the podcast, there was speculation that like IDW would take over maybe after the MMPR run, because we didn't know about the split at the time.
Yeah.
Or like, because each arc, if you look back and you read each arc does end. Like, this could be the end of the series. Like, you go back and you read the end of the Eltarian War. That ends on sort of like a note saying, this is the end of this story. Or something like Shattergrid, that ends on like, if the comics didn't continue. Necessary Evil, not so much, because it ends on like that Draken cliffhanger. But that did end on a note for like, okay, this is where the characters would be if the series ended. But yeah, like, the comics are great. Like, if you're not reading the comics, you should be reading them, because we're not getting any show content for a good couple of years, depending what this reboot's doing. So you've either got this or Legacy Wars for your Power Rangers content, and I'd pick the comics.
Yeah, for sure. Like, look, the game at this point, I tried to keep up with it. It's too much. Like to get any character, you have to shell out a ton of money. And like, I'm happy I got Shadow Ranger, but it's amazing to me that, you know, they're still able to put these crazy characters. And I feel Legacy Wars has done an amazing job at bringing so much of the comics into it, too. I mean,
we even had
a Dane skin, which I didn't think would ever happen.
We got a Death Ranger and a Zordon in the Eltarian War skin, which is crazy to think. And it's always fun to read, like, the reactions from, like, I guess, I don't want to say normies or casuals, but people who don't know what the comics are just have their reactions to it.
Yeah.
Which is always fun to see.
Yeah. And when I see stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, it's from the comics. Like, go read. Yeah.
Go read the comics. Yeah.
Just from someone who loves the comics and has, you know, tries to keep up with the fandom with it. You know, I see a lot of comments of things like, well, I mean, it's gone for over 100 issues. I don't know where to begin. And I think if you see an arc that you like,
jump into that arc.
Just jump into it. And if you like it, you know, catch up on the backlog later. At least here in America, we have, you know, different services. Well, I was going to say the hardcovers are a good addition, or any of the soft cover collections, because I know the hardcovers can be quite an investment.
Very expensive, yeah.
But I was going to say, at least here in America, we have different library services online, like Libby or
Kindle.
Yeah, well, Kindle, you can get them digitally too, or Hoopla.
I don't know if it's still a thing, but I think Kindle had like most of the Power Ranger comics on their Kindle Unlimited. So you just, I think it links with your Amazon Prime, and then you get access to all those comics.
Yeah, so there's like a lot of ways digitally that you can get it and support it. So I think my biggest advice for anyone that wants to jump into the comics just do it. Even if you can read the annuals or some of the original graphic novels, like whatever interests you, just look at it.
Yeah, it's not Marvel or DC where you have to understand all the stuff that came before it. It's Power Rangers. If you can follow it, you'll know what's going on. And like you said, if you want to read an arc, jump into an arc. The soft covers have been like separating the arcs into their own separate soft covers.
Yes, I've noticed that. Yeah, they've been doing that. And I get the single issues, some of the variants, the soft covers and the hard covers. I'm nuts. I'm crazy like that. But even I had to stop getting some of these newer collections of the Necessary Evil Part 1 soft cover just came out. And I had to tell my comic shop guy, I already have these collected. So I don't need it for like a third or fourth time. But for Boom Studios to like continue to reprint some of these arcs, that's meant to keep it accessible for people and available. So I know you talk also about the lore of the series. You've actually done a series of, hey, it's not in Power Rangers, but you should be checking this out. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Okay. So like there's some, like I'm sort of doing this sort of video series. It's finished, but it's called Never Before Seen Monsters. Yes. And that's where I went over all the monsters that were never adapted in the Super Sentai. This mostly spun from me watching. I joined YouTuber Geekdom101's Discord. And because it was COVID at the time, we would have watch parties for like Super Sentai. It's how I watched all of Dire Ranger and I revisited Jiranger. So we went back and rewatched all of that. And I think when we were watching Dire Ranger there, we got to the monster that was the birdcage with VR sombrero. And that was like one of the monsters that was skipped. But not only that, I think we also watched Mega Ranger, and Mega Ranger had a lot of monsters that was skipped as well. And I was like, I want to do a video series where I talk about all the monsters that never made into Power Rangers. So I just like went to the wiki. I went to Green Ranger Without the Vows, and I just like dove into the research of what I could find. I tried revisiting the episodes here and there, but like Sentai is very hard to find depending on where you go and you want to have your computer clean. Please release more Sentai Shout, please.
Yeah, I've got all of their sets and I would love more.
I've got most of them.
I was so thankful that they released Decaranger because that was my first Sentai getting into that brought me back into the fandom because that year was also when Dino Thunder came out. I grew up with Power Rangers and Mighty Morphin was my first series. So to hear that Tommy was back and Jason David Frank was back in the series, like blew my mind. So I really loved Decaranger and my triumvirate Sentai, like my three that were back to back, no one can touch, unbeatable, Decaranger, Majiranger, Bokanger.
I've heard nothing but good things about those series. I need to check them out, especially Bokenger. I've heard nothing but good things about Bokenger.
A great series, and we were so close with these Shout sets, and we got Decaranger, so I'm like, here we go, Majiranger next, and nothing. So yeah. I definitely hope we get more.
Same here. Like, even if they just put it on streaming or Shout, then that'd be nice.
Now, I know, especially for Shout Factory, that they don't really do international distribution. So, so for things like, I'm not trying to get you in trouble, but do you import those or?
No, I absolutely do import them. Like Amazon sells them.
Oh, nice.
Right Stuff sold them at the time before Right Stuff got bought out by Crunchyroll.
So stupid. I was literally talking to Ash Beard Guy on Twitter. We were literally talking about Crunchyroll and the buying out of Right Stuff. It sucks. Right.
I know. That's where I got some of the stuff from them. Like I got the Kamen Rider Black and Black RX from them and Ryuki and I haven't got Kuga yet, but most of them I did get, but I think when they did have a special, I did try and pick up whatever Sentai series I'm missing. I think I'm missing Gao Ranger, O Ranger, Kao Ranger, and whatever ones came after Harukenger. I import them.
It's such a great collection, and I hope they do more just because I do love Super Sentai, and I think there's such a rich history there. And like they say on the DVDs, you know, before Power Rangers, there was Super Sentai.
There was,
And, you know, they've been such a great set just for collecting. But my problem is trying to find the time to watch all of them.
I know.
I know this has been like a huge topic in the fandom. How do you feel about Boom Boonger?
Well, I like the suit because there was like the whole controversy before the suits, before we even saw him. I won't go into that, but I like him. I'm opening him up to him. Like I'm warming up to him as I see more of him because we're actually starting to see the suit actors move around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see them under better lighting. The tire helmets don't look as bad as like they were first revealed because you're seeing them on different angles. And the tires don't look as big as like I thought they would be. Because when you think of a tire, you think of like a truck tire and it's like, that's massive. But yeah, I feel like they blend pretty well into the suits.
My only thing is the weird tires on the back, like the extra tires on the back. Those got to do something because they just look so planted. But it's definitely one of those shows that like I love seasons that have a technological focus. And especially like when you get a bunch of vehicle Zords, I'm such a sucker for vehicle Zords.
Did you buckle and get the Boon Boon Jamek?
I did not. We're trying to save for a house and like, I'm trying to limit my spending. So like as much as I think like the little cars are so cool, when Kamen Rider Drive came out, I got a couple of those cars for Gaim and stuff. And they're just so cool. Like, they're just so fun to play with. And I will watch the show, but I can't be tempted to get all of these cars.
I did get the four-piece set.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, they separate them. I'll just get them in one big collection. But if they start, like, releasing, like, legacy sets of Gashapon of, like, all the different Sentais, then I'm going, because, like, the only Sentai gimmick I jumped on was the Don Brother Gears.
Yes.
I managed to get most of them. Apart from like the mech ones, I think I've got all the Sentai ones that they released.
Nice.
And that's pretty cool. But like if they start releasing, like, I don't know, like O-Ranger or Kyuruja, like mechs, like not mechs, cars, then I'm going to be able to be like, oh, if they have like any cool design to them, it'll be like me wanting like Hot Wheel cars all over again.
Oh my God. I don't know if they release these in Australia when... Megaforce and Super Megaforce were on the air. Did you guys get the Megaforce Hot Wheels? Because those exist.
Not that I know of, because I think Megaforce was airing, I was mostly hanging out in the video game section rather than the toy section. I would dip around, like do laps, but I think depends what state you're in, like a busy town, if they would have a lot of toys here and there, but I don't remember them. I know I've seen them. I've seen them. People post them on like Power Rangers buy and sell and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. When you were talking about legacy Sentai cars or whatever for Boomoonger, I'm throwing back to Tokuger when they did the Super Sentai themed train cars.
I wasn't following the merch behind that. I am going to sit down and watch Tokuger. Because I've heard nothing but good things about it. And I did like seeing some of the suits there for like Madame Noir as like Void Queen, which was crazy. That suit did not get censored.
Yeah, I know. That was that was a lot for sure. I think they changed like a couple things on the face or whatever, but they didn't modify much that else. Chest, on that.
No.
But no, Tokuger, you should look up like the Super Sentai Russia, because they did a line where it's just like a sticker of the team on the side of a car. Oh, okay. But they did ones for actual themed cars. And there's like a Gokaiger one, a Rue Soldier one, and there's like a few others. They even did a like a Deno train in the Tokuger style.
That's pretty cool.
If they do something cool like a Legacy Sentai, I'd really have to pick and choose which one I get. Like if they do like a Deca Ranger police car based on Deca Red's car, I mean, that's like an instant buy for me. I'm going to get that. Anything else you want to talk about in terms of just Australian Power Rangers fandom, I guess, or your experiences with the fandom as a whole in general?
Because we went on a bit of a tangent there. So I remember like coming home from school, like every day, watching Power Rangers like after school. Would be on at 3:30 or 4:30, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I don't know if like I'm going to open up like a weird nostalgia brain for people, but the show Passions used to be on before Power Rangers in Australia.
Passions. Oh my God. Yeah. That is a weird tonal shift. I'll say that.
Yeah. Because I think it's like, okay, kids are like, we'll wrap up this soap opera, put Power Rangers on Channel 7. I remember it airing like after Passions for the longest time. Wow. And Australia would be like a year or two behind like American seasons. Because you don't know how you kids have it these days with just streaming and stuff like that. We would have to wait like a year or so before we got a movie. If you look up when Australia got the Turbo movie, so it came out in United States, March 28th, 1997. Australia, September 17th, 1998.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was the Turbo movie, yeah.
That's crazy. You know, we've talked about for years on the podcast, like, you know, the whole thing with international spoilers. But as a Power Rangers fan, like, aside from pirating, like, it would kill me to know that there's like two seasons that are out and I haven't even watched. Like, that would destroy me as a fan.
When you're 10, I guess you don't notice the world around you and stuff like that because the internet was very new at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that like, that would blow my mind with stuff with international spoilers. I remember when like Australia got the Beast Morphers international spoilers and I was like, this has got to be a mistake in the TV guide. Like, no way. Oh, no, we're picking up right after where episode 8 or 9 left off on.
Yeah.
With the Silver Sacrifice. Okay, we're doing this. And then they just kept going. I was like, they got to stop eventually. They're going to air the entire season. And then like they aired like for the next couple of weeks all the way to like the finale of Beast Morphers season 1.
Yeah, it was the entire rest of the season in like 2 weeks. It was crazy.
No, I think that was the UK for Dino Fury as well. But yeah. Well, that was season 2 of Beast Morphers. Dino Fury, I feel sorry for because that had some big story reveals. And that was the same week as Power Morphicon. And he had people like Hunter there and stuff like that. And people were sharing script. Like, I'm guilty of charge. I made spoiler videos talking about it. Like, I'm sure. Guilty as charge. But they couldn't talk about the show that was airing because it was like airing on Netflix like a week later.
Yeah.
And then the classic whoever scheduled that tweet for Cosmic Fury.
That was just in the history of like silly mistakes. That is. Yeah. Number one, I remember just freaking out at like 1:40 in the morning. I'm like, okay, we're doing a Spaces. Like, this is happening.
I remember that. Like, it was like lunchtime for me. And I just see it on my like timeline. I was like, okay, am I missing something here? Why is this airing at like, because I knew the Cosmic Fury panel, the Dino Fury panel was like the next day. And I talked to like, pull back the curtain. Like, I had teasers from Joe over the Illuminati saying, oh, they're going to announce something big, Ash. You might want to stay up late for this one. I was like, yeah, okay. And then they revealed it like a day early. So
many crazy things. It's just wild being a Power Rangers fan. But jokes on the rest of the fandom, because if you love the comics, that's it for Power Rangers.
Yeah, that's it for Power Rangers. Like, you can go back and watch your favorite seasons. That's okay. Oh, yeah. But if you want new content, like, comics is where it's at. You got like 5-6 years of comics to catch up on.
It's just such a wealth of great storytelling, and everyone has their different opinions about you know arcs, just because, you know, everyone is unique. But I think overall what Kyle Higgins started, personally for me, like, I was out of comics collecting for like a number of years. Like, I used to collect comics when I was a teenager and stopped around when I was in college. And because of Power Rangers, I became a regular at my comic store. Nice, the guy knows my name. I'm the Power Rangers guy. I get like first picks of like the variants. He gets me all the variants he can. Unfortunately, not enough people order Power Rangers at that store. So, you know, he can't get some of the 110 or 125 or ridiculous incentives.
You're not going to get the 29 different variants for MMPR The Return, or no?
My God, I was counting, and like, there's like reprints and couldn't get printed and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I told it up because I used to contribute to Power Ranger with No Vowels, and I would. Yeah. I would help build the comics database. And we initially based that off all the amazing work that Morgan did over on Ranger Board. But he even got to a point where it's like, it's too much to keep track of these. And as someone who has a very extensive spreadsheet of literally every freaking comic, it's a bear to even try to find images or some of these. Right. And don't even get me started about stash loot and whatnot. They never promote those. It's not a traditional storefront. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I'm still missing images from a few months back of some of their exclusives. But again, that's a whole other podcast. But seriously, if our listeners are looking for to maybe get a taste of the Power Ranger comics, definitely check out Ash's reviews for the comic series. He's got an amazing series of videos for the comics. The reviews really go through these issues. So if you want to take a peek at the storytelling of what's going on with these arcs, shout out to him and his channel. We'll have all the links in the show notes. But Ash, what do you want to promote on your socials?
I guess just the YouTube channel. Like, I'm on Twitter, but I'm mostly memeing and posting here and there. Like, I got nothing fascinating to say on Twitter.
Trust me, 90% of the people on Twitter don't have anything interesting.
I'm not touching that one, but yeah. But yeah, I guess check out the YouTube channel. Like, I finished the Never Before Seen Power Ranger Monster series. I'm doing like the comic stuff here and there, but definitely check out the YouTube channel if you want some opinions or some theories on the comics.
Well, Ash, thank you so much for being on the show today. This was an absolute pleasure, and I'm definitely extending the invitation. I know time zones are wonky, crazy things, but you're more than welcome. Any future Ranger Command Comic Squadron episode that we got, you're definitely more than welcome to join in, pending everyone's availability and lining up. And that's truly an international one, too. We usually have Callum on from Lightning Collective over in the UK. So, yeah, trying to line up schedules can be a bit tricky sometimes, Definitely, I would love to have you on the show again, even just to shoot the shit about comics. I think that'd be hell's awesome. Yes.
But also, I was going to say, check out Kyle's other stuff, like Radiant Black and Rogue Sun.
Well, that was kind of like my tangent about the comic shop. Like, Power Rangers got me back into regular comic shop going, and I've learned about so many amazing artists, and my pull list right now is huge. And if you told me like 7 years ago, I'd have a huge pull list of all these different amazing like comics creators that I discovered through Power Rangers, like it's just been so amazing. And Radiant Black, and I'm so glad that most of the people who worked on Power Rangers, Kyle and Michael and Matt and
Matt,
and Ryan Parrott and Melissa Flores, they all found each other through Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And now they're creating and making this amazing Massiverse universe.
Yes.
It's definitely tokusatsu inspired. But, you know, Kyle is writing, you know, the more traditional superhero route with Radiant Black. And you've got Ryan with a supernatural superhero. And Melissa's doing crazy techno punk spiritual stuff. And Matt Groom with like more of the mystical side with Inferno Girl Red. It's amazing what the Power Ranger comics have spawned after the fact.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely huge thumbs up from us for the Massiverse as well. Once again, Ash, just thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So Ranger Nation, let us know what you think. If you have questions, you can email us at rangercommandpowerhour@gmail.com or check us out at rangercommand.com. We're on Twitter at rangercommandph and on Facebook and Instagram at rangercommandpowerhour, all one word. But you can find all of the links to the show at linktr.ee/rangercommandph. And until the next time around the world, thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next Ranger Command Power Hour. Bye, everyone. You've been listening to the Ranger Command Power Hour, only on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You can catch a new episode every other Saturday. Find us on the Morphin Grid at www.rangercommand.com. Follow us on Twitter at @RangerCommandPH. Like us on Facebook and Instagram at Ranger Command Power Hour. Ranger Command is also on Patreon. Become a patron by pledging as much or as little as you like every month and receive cool perks. By pledging, you are helping us make our show even better. Go to patreon.com/rangercommandph to learn more. Thanks for listening.